The results are in. Earnings seasons is nearly done, and at the very least, we could say it was a wild ride. The season started off with a correction, but it was cut short by Fed chairperson Jerome Powell's monetary policy update. The Fed's dovishness caused a rally that almost made us forget about company results. So this week, it's time for a recap. As often is the case, the results have surpassed expectations with the usual suspects. Consumer discretionary and the giants in communications and social media, with financials doing much better than anticipated. While all sectors had a decent quarter in terms of earnings, total sales presented a more mixed picture. So what does this mean for the market? I am Ashish Uttarad, Assistant Vice President of Investment Strategy at IG Wealth Management. Join us each week as my colleagues and I discuss the trends dominating the investment landscape. It's the week of November 6th. Listen on as we navigate the living market. To date, more than 80% of the S&P 500's market cap have reported their third quarter earnings. 82% outperformed projections on earnings per share, or EPS, with these companies beating by an average of 7.6%. After three quarters of year-over-year earnings decline, Q3 is finally showing a revival. But underneath these results, there's an interesting dynamic playing out. Only 48% of companies are beating total sales expectations, with an aggregate surprise of just 1%. This shows that businesses are surprising by how much margin they can squeeze, but not by the strength of their sales. Some prominent Wall Street analysts are highlighting this statistic currently. But keep in mind that 2023 has been a story of declining margins, with the average at 10-year lows, excluding the period during the COVID pandemic. This bottoming out and improvements of margins is not a bad sign for the overall market. Companies at present are appearing to keep inventories low and prices high. Inventory levels may not be at rock bottom, but they are closing in. Once demand for replenishing inventory starts to kick in, we could see a bounce in manufacturing. It's not a one-sided picture. A sizable chunk of companies, despite outperforming current estimates, are hinting at impending challenges: diminishing demand, a wavering macroeconomic landscape, and the persistent specter of higher-than-desired inflation. McDonald's, like many others, pointed out that weakness is coming from their lower-income consumers. This trend of trading down continues as high-income consumers increasingly shop at stores typically associated with lower-income brackets, with lower-income consumers being priced out entirely. This high disparity between the have and have-nots is also present in the market indices. 35% of the S&P 500 companies have had negative earnings growth. For the smaller companies composed of the S&P 600 Small Cap Index, this figure rises to 54%. This logic applies to individuals and to businesses. The cash-rich companies are benefiting from higher interest rates because their cash reserves are appreciating at a faster pace than their debt costs. The smaller, often cash-starved companies see rising interest rate eat away at their margins. This disparity from the business and consumer standpoint explains why we can be surprised at stock market performance in the face of what may feel to some investors like a weak economy. While some are struggling, overall consumer spending appears resilient. Data has shown sustained discretionary spending and retail sales continually surpassing forecasts. This robust spending is holding the U.S. economy together, leading some to speculate on the possibility of the U.S. sidestepping a foreshadowed recession. After all, we learned last week that the U.S. economy had registered GDP growth of 4.9%, far exceeding predictions. Looking at the status quo from a historical lens offers us a cautionary tale. Consumer strength is closely tied to job security. Though resilient now, consumer behavior is fickle and can shift abruptly. Historically, the economy's health preceding a recession appears misleadingly robust. In the 12 recessions since World War II, GDP growth averaged 7% in the quarter preceding the onset of each recession, casting that 4.9 figure we just had in a new light indeed. I'm Ashish Uttarad, and this has been The Living Market. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please take a moment to rate it and share it with colleagues and friends. It will help other like-minded individuals find us. Thanks for listening.
The content of this podcast, including facts, views, opinions, and recommendations, is not to be used or construed as investment advice and is not an offer or an invitation to buy or sell any security. The content of this podcast should not be relied upon for any purpose, and IG Wealth Management is not responsible for any reliance upon it. This podcast includes forward-looking information that reflects our current expectations or forecasts of future events. Forward-looking information is subject to risks, uncertainties, and assumptions that could cause actual results to differ materially from expressed herein. Our views are subject to change based on market conditions. commissions, fees, and expenses may be associated with mutual fund investments. Read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed, values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated.